Hello there and welcome to Sound Vision Ulster. Now, just before we begin this edition, we have some very big news. From March 2015, we will have a new name, Sound Vision Online, and a new look website, www.soundvisiononline.co.uk. This will allow us to share more content more often with more people. Now, don't worry, we aren't getting rid of the CD format, but it is important that you contact us directly to ensure that we have your most up-to-date contact details on file so that you can keep receiving a compilation of the latest content on CD. Now, the compilation CD will be posted out 4 times per year in the usual way, but please let us know whether you wish to receive the CD or that you are happy to access Sound Vision Online via our website. Now, due to data protection regulations, unfortunately, we will not be able to simply transfer your details from the old Sound Vision Ulster mailing list. So, if it's the CD that you want, then do get in touch with us. Our commitment to bringing you news, information and entertainment from across Northern Ireland and beyond is the same as always. And we encourage you, our listeners, to pick up the phone or write to us with your ideas, your suggestions and your feedback. To contact the Sound Vision Online team, call RNIB in Belfast on 028 9032 9373 or email soundvisiononline@rnib.org.uk. To find us online, visit www.soundvisiononline.co.uk. And remember to follow RNIB Northern Ireland on Facebook and on Twitter, where we'll be sharing everything as it happens. Hello there and welcome to Sound Vision Ulster, kindly sponsored by BT. I'm Michael Selby.
And I'm Sharon Jennings.
And I'm Joe Kenny.
And coming up on this edition, we hear about some medical students from Queen's University who came to RNIB Northern Ireland to find out more about what it's like to live with sight loss.
And our who's who this time is Jackie Witherow, RNIB NI's new campaign and research manager. And speaking of Jackie's, we hear from a new member of the Sound Vision team, so stay tuned to find out more.
And who's heard of echolocation? Well, I'll be discovering more about that later on in the show.
And of course, we have our regular quiz question, our news and events guide, and of course, as much joyous revelry as is legal in these parts. Joe writes this, by the way. Anyway, hello folks, how you doing? Before we crack on, are we well?
Oh yes, absolutely.
We're very well and I'd like to say a wonderful happy 2015 to all our lovely listeners.
Yes, happy yes, new year, happy yeah. new year. We realise it's a few weeks too late, but it's our first chance. So, so hope you had a safe and happy festive season.
Very, very much so and very quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just what I was looking for.
Yeah, exactly. I was working for quite a big chunk of it, but happy too. What about you, Joe?
Christmas seems so long ago now, but I mean, after snow and ice. Oh, I'd like to share with you a story. It's a bad story.
Okay. Good.
No, I don't know what it was. It's all about flat pack furniture. Who knows about that?
Oh.
The joys that is.
Oh, don't go there.
Yeah, I tend to get a man in.
Unfortunately, the man in was me this time. And there's a table and chairs, a dining room table and chairs. That sounds really quite simple. You've stuck 4 legs. It can't be that difficult. And of course, this table, it's about the length of myself, about 6'2" in length. I've just finished the entire lot. It's took about 3 hours.
Well
and
done.
I haven't eaten. And we're literally, and I mean this, we're literally on the last leg. Turns out then, there's actually a fault in the table. It's come out of the factory, you know.
So this isn't the fault's nothing to do with you, Joe.
No, I mean, I did look at it and go, hang on, what have I done? What have I done? No, but this time it wasn't my fault.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not great with DIY. I remember even at school we had to make like a little tugboat out of balsa wood.
Oh.
And it was one of these things where you can like sandpapering the front of it, and mine just ended. I was aiming for a point, and it ended up this sort of slightly lopsided ankle shape, which the teacher stifled a giggle at, and I could see, as an 11-year-old, I could see that she was amused. But I think it must be a thing that runs in our family. My dad, my dad has kind of got me with so many DIY pickles over the years, but I remember he made a bird table once, and out of bits of old fence, and it was in the back garden, and the first drop of rain, this lethal thing swinging left or right, the birds terrified, kind of flying away. Anyway, yes.
I actually love DIY. I really, really enjoy it. I find it really therapeutic and really relaxing, and I've done quite a lot of those self-assembled stuff. And the last one I did was a bookcase, and it was absolutely fine, but as long as you didn't touch it, it did wobble quite a bit. So I had to put the books in like strategic places to kind of balance the weird out.
But that was part of its charm.
But I love it. And,
yes.
And I'm always surprised that people can't do things like lots of people now can't like wire a plug.
Well, why do you need to wire a plug now?
Because if you have something that doesn't have a plug on it.
Or what if this was 1950?
My bath hasn't a plug on it.
That's true. Neither does mine.
Or sometimes, you know, sometimes if you want to like make a wire the cord like from a lamp, say shorter.
Ah,
yeah. You I get you.
Very good. Very good.
And rewire the plug.
I get yes. you.
No, I must admit, I've done it once, and I think everybody who was in the room with me, they were holding their breath when I plugged it back in, but it actually worked.
Yeah, I remember being shown in school, but it's not a skill I've ever had to use, and that's probably a good thing. I used to kind of come with like clever acronyms for which colour went where, but then I just can totally confuse myself. And so it's don't ask me to wire a plug is the moral of this story.
Well, I discovered chalk paint last year, so right. Everything I painted everything in my flat, like everything everything that was paintable, it got painted. It took me about a month. It was very satisfying at the end.
But you're quite a hands-on type person, because, I mean, you're a great cook. Can I just say, incidentally, slight diversion here, Sharon's mince pies are amazing. That's not rhyming slang or anything like that.
cocky rhyming slang
When we did the Christmas edition, Sharon brought in some homemade mince pies. I'm not a pastry fan, but I was craving them the next day. They were amazing.
You should have phoned me. I'd have got them back.
I will commission you this year to make some more. I will pay you. They were really good.
I would have biked them down to you, Mike. I would have.
How eco-friendly.
Anyway, first up, Joe, it's you. Joe brings us a feature about when a group of some third-year medical students came to RNIB in order to further their understanding of what it's like to live with a problem with their sight.
My name is Michael Williams, and I'm a consultant ophthalmologist in the Belfast Trust and a senior lecturer in the Centre for Medical Education, which is the medical school in Queen's. During the medical course, students at Queen's have 5 opportunities to choose a subject to study in greater depth than they usually would. And they have a great variety of subjects from which to choose, things ranging from drama in medicine to Latin American medicine to neuropathology. So I decided to run one in living with visual impairment, simply because it struck me that medical students are taught the clinical aspects of ophthalmology, about diagnosing ophthalmic problems, managing and treating ophthalmic problems, but really aren't brought from the point of a patient losing their vision beyond. And so I wanted to expose students to and get them to immerse themselves in this area, if you like, beyond what clinical medicine can offer. So Queen's really effectively set the number at 8 students, and we were oversubscribed. So 8, I guess, lucky students got the chance to do this. I'm delighted people applied. I'm delighted it was oversubscribed. It was the first time we've run this, and I think looking back, the 3 weeks that this student-selected component has lasted have, by all accounts, been a success.
And so you then brought RNIB Northern Ireland in to provide certain
yes.
functions of this?
Yes, absolutely. I work with ECLOS, of course, and they were my link to the RNIB. And I've just been delighted, surprised and a bit overwhelmed by the RNIB's enthusiasm for the project, and indeed the degree of involvement RNIB in Belfast have had. It's just been tremendous. They've taken on this student-selected component and really made it. The RNIB, first of all, organised the dark experience, which I did with the students, where we spent a morning blindfolded, practicing using a cane, practicing instructing each other, practicing pouring things using coins, walking round. And so I think that was a really impactful thing for myself and for the students to go through. The RNIB also brought the students up to the Belfast offices for a day and put on a tremendously varied and really useful day about rehab and all the variety of services that can be offered by the RNIB to people with visual impairment, which was a revelation to me as well as being really useful information for the students. These students, of course, don't know what type of doctor they're going to be when they, mm-hmm. they qualify. I'm sure some will want to be ophthalmologists and hopefully will be. But statistically, most students become GPs and some work in casualties or act as physicians. And I think that's important because we're not just training future ophthalmologists. A lot of interaction of people with visual impairment is with other types of doctor, in particular GPs, and to have future GPs aware of all these aspects of visual impairment, I think, is not just useful but really important.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's not just, if you like, an eye doctor who deals with people with an eye with sight loss. It's every, in terms of, as you say, a GP or any type of medical professional.
Absolutely, yep. And I guess it's not just in terms of these students as future doctors interacting with their patients, but hopefully they'll go out and spread the word by example and instruction to their colleagues. If they're working alongside someone in casualty, for example, and a colleague has a patient with visual impairment, well, maybe they can just give a nudge and a bit of info and insight and discussion that will be useful.
Yeah, I mean, a large part of the students' experience was to prepare, well, a 10-minute radio-style audio piece, isn't that right?
Yes, this worked out brilliantly. The RNIB set up sessions with a visually impaired host, and the students went out in pairs to spend a session with the volunteers. And this was almost, in my mind, the centrepiece of the three-week attachment. And they made a recording of their expectations, first of all, a recording of the chat they had with the patient about the patient's experiences and reflections and thoughts and experiences. And then they recorded their own personal reflections. And the aim was, with the help of Joe, to make a 10-minute radio program, which we listened to on the last day, and everyone marked. But what was fascinating, there were many really fascinating aspects. The presentations were really professionally done. The insights from the patients were really really novel to me about the day-to-day realities of living with visual impairment. And also what was interesting was the styles the students took. I gave them some direction, but really left it free for them to use their creative side. And while some gave a very personal insight into their session, others had an interview style and others still had a documentary style. So it was really interesting exercise.
I'll tell you, from a personal point of view, I found it was a great experience because, well, I find myself quite privileged in the sense that here are eight future doctors.
Yeah.
And it was encouraging to me because they're a very... Yes. A very motivated, dedicated lot.
Yes.
It's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, they students have to turn up to all their lectures, and they come in at the start of medical school super enthusiastic, and obviously, as is the nature of anything, their enthusiasm and their stamina waxes and wanes depending on the subject. So it's great for this to have students who chose the module and came along and enthusiastically, and at the end, I think they said they'd gained a lot from it.
Indeed. Well, we paired the students up into pairs, so there's actually four different audio pieces which we're going to hear a little bit of now.
Yep.
But Michael, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure, Joe. Thank you for your help.
My name is Aidan O'Kane.
And my name is Stephanie Toner.
We are third-year medical students at Queen's University Belfast, and as part of a special study module titled Living with Visual Impairment, we were given the opportunity to meet with a visually impaired individual, Mr. M. As medical students, we've done a two-week ophthalmology attachment where we were taught the pathophysiology of eye disease and attended different clinics and surgeries, and we've witnessed the multidisciplinary approach to eye care. We have received visual awareness training, however, we hadn't before spoken at length to an individual with sight loss.
We were aware of the diseases and treatments, but knew very little about the day-to-day impact of sight loss on the person. I had naively assumed the sight loss generally impacted everyone in the same way as a universally devastating event.
I imagined feeling vulnerable and left in the dark, and I found it hard to imagine accepting sight loss and embracing the adapted way of life that comes with it.
However, Mr. M completely subverted any such expectations we had. He explained that for millions with visual impairment, the ignorant assumption that they are imprisoned by darkness, groping, stumbling, is just not true.
It was wonderful to hear how helpful RNIB, the healthcare service and community projects have been in helping Mr. M to adjust. He described his reassessment, reaffirmation and self-acceptance and the coping strategies that he used and that really helped him. And he reminded us that with the right support, life after sight loss can be more and not less.
The overall theme of our time with Mr. M was really summed up by his motto, to not focus on the few things you cannot do, but focus on the many things that you can do.
So before visiting Mrs. R, Phil and I were a little unsure of what to expect. We did not know what level of visual impairment she had or how she coped with daily living, so we arrived to her work full of questions. We were told, however, that she had a guide dog, so we were very excited to see the interaction between Mrs. R and the dog. We were a little apprehensive about doing or saying something that might come across as offensive or inappropriate, such as when to shake hands or when talking about what TV programmes she watched. When we arrived at the housing executive, we were greeted by Mrs. R, who appeared very independent and mobile with the assistance of her guide dog, Gabby. We were surprised at how quickly and comfortably she got around, swiping her card to open doors and locating people and her desks without any trouble. We chatted and asked questions before being shown around her office and the work she does each day with the help of technologies such as JAWS and CCTV.
One thing that really stuck out to me that I think a lot of sighted people take for granted is the fact that gestures that we can do to each other on the street, such as nodding or waving, and these are things that Mr. T said that obviously he can't take part in these things. So obviously that can be quite isolating to people with sight loss.
Hello, I'm Grace.
And I'm Johnny. We are third year medical students at Queen's University Belfast.
Johnny and I interviewed and attended the workplace of a gentleman in his 50s who has suffered from blindness since the age of 31 due to his diabetic retinopathy.
Stephen certainly shattered our illusion. We had that blind people live a quiet, paced, dependent lifestyle. What do you think you're going to take away from this experience for your practice in the future? This is definitely one of those moments when I take a step back and say to myself, you really have to treat patients holistically. They are not just a medical condition.
Yes, I agree. Apart from treating their medical conditions, it is very important as well for us to show empathy and try to put ourselves into the patient's shoes if it is possible. A lot of medical conditions would have an impact on the patients and their carers' mental health, and as field paramedics, we have to consider that.
Anything that makes it unnecessarily harder for the patient, I think, should probably be changed. We would like to finish by thanking the RNIB for arranging and recording this, thank Dr. Williams for organising this brilliant SSC, and we finally would like to thank Stephen for giving up some of his precious time to show us how blindness affects his life. Thank you for listening.
And now it's time for our Who's Who, and this time it's the new Campaigns and Research Manager. We started by asking her, what does an RNIB Campaigns and Research Manager actually do?
This time our Who's Who and What Do You Do is our new Campaigns and Research Manager, Jackie Witherow. Jackie, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Joe. Glad to be here.
So tell me, well, I suppose I'd like to begin with, how long have you been with RNIB now?
It's just coming up to 6 months already, so it's gone quite quickly, but I'm enjoying it and I'm learning a lot about the sector. So, it's been a great move for me.
I ask this of everybody that we do with Who's Who, but what does a campaigns and research manager do in RNIB Northern Ireland?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. For me, let me take them separately. Campaigning, firstly, I think it falls into three areas for me. First of all, it's about changing individual attitudes and behaviours, particularly in terms of raising awareness of the issues affecting blind and partially sighted people in Northern Ireland today. It's also fundamentally about influencing government policy. And I think if we really want to see change here in Northern Ireland, it has to happen at that legislative public policy level for us to really see difference on the ground. And finally, for me, I think campaigning, a vital dimension of campaigning is about strengthening the voice of blind and partially sighted people in Northern Ireland. While we can speak and campaign and lobby on behalf of people with sight loss in Northern Ireland. It's so powerful when it comes directly from those who are affected on a daily basis. So we look at how we can work together in raising awareness of the issues.
I mean, I think it's something, I think campaigning sometimes is a word that we all take for granted a bit, especially if you work in RNIB. Mm-hmm. But it, essentially what you're asking for is people to basically come out and say what they, well, how they feel, mm-hmm. what they would like to change.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fundamental. And, you know, we've seen evidence, even since I've been in post, I've seen evidence of real social change on the issues that's been brought forward by people with sight loss and the barriers that affect them on a daily basis. And for me, the campaigning department actually falls into those two areas of campaigning, where you have our core campaigning areas, which I'm sure I'll talk about in a little more detail. But it's about bringing people on board to support us in our core campaigning areas. But also, and this is through the work of our Campaigning Active Network, which also falls under my department, where it's about, at a local level, individuals addressing issues that affect them and being able to lobby as an individual or as a group to bring about that change. So that's where I see the campaigning falling into those two avenues.
I suppose tell us a little bit about what have you got planned for the coming year or whatever? What's your sort of key areas of was interest?
Well, we have three campaigning priority areas moving forward over the next number of years in line with RNIB's group strategy, our five-year strategy. So the first would be around accessible transport, then safe and inclusive streets, and also accessible health service. We actually have begun our consultation on the issues around accessible transport. It was great. We held five focus group sessions right across Northern Ireland during November and December period last year. It was actually quite timely in that we were approached by the Department for Regional Development, as they are at that stage of developing their successor to their accessible transport strategy. So we worked in partnership in terms of engaging the sector just to understand the issues and again the barriers in relation to transport in Northern Ireland, and I think it's very important in regards to transport, understanding the rural and urban divide in particular, and that really came to the fore during the focus group sessions. And one of the key areas I would see coming out of the accessible transport work we'll be doing will be lobbying both government and TransLink to sign up to RNIB's bus charter, because that fundamentally addresses a lot of the issues that people experience from that beginning to end journey.
I must admit, it sounds like you're going to be busy.
Yes.
From what you just said.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. I have to say, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It was a great opportunity for us to undertake the focus group sessions. And for me, it's great doing desk research and understanding the issues in the sector. But I feel you really get an understanding and appreciation of the issues and barriers when you get out there and meet people. And it's been fantastic, and I look forward to doing that across all our campaigning areas over the next year.
I mean, I suppose the other thing I would like to add too is that, you know, you might be wondering, how do I engage with RNIB? Well, I'll tell you, the perfect way at the moment is there's CAN groups all over Northern Ireland now, isn't there?
That's
correct.
And
there's more, hopefully, in the future.
That's correct. We have seven groups now, believe it or not.
Seven.
Yes, right across Northern Ireland, which is fantastic, with over 100 members. And I have to say, the work that they have achieved to date on the areas that they have lobbied and campaigned against has been fantastic and significant, quite significant. So I would encourage anybody who is very interested in campaigning, particularly at that local level, please do become involved in one of our CAN groups. And you can contact our campaigns and research department here, and we will provide you with more detail and information of your nearest CAN group.
Okay, so what does Jackie Witherow do on a day off?
Well, I have two young children. So as you can imagine, they take up, which is great, a big part of my social life.
Absolutely.
For us, we like to make the most of our time off, my husband and I and our children, and we love travelling. We actually last year engaged for the first time in a home exchange. So we're very much sold on that. we feel it's a good way to see other parts of the world and to get to know communities and different cultures. So it's a concept, maybe many of your listeners are aware of it, where you exchange homes and cars. So you do put a lot of faith in somebody coming into your home.
Sounds like it.
I have to say, many of my friends were quite quiet when I expressed what we were doing. But I have to say, we've done it once and it was a success. And we came back and our house was in the same condition as we left it. So it was very positive. And I think it would be a way that we would like to holiday in the future. It was wonderful. It was a great experience. I love cooking and eating out, and music would be my other passion as well.
That leads us nicely onto every person I do a who's who with.
Okay.
We've got three questions that I ask everyone.
Right.
So the first one is, if you're going for a meal out with your husband, mm-hmm. what's your favourite sort of food?
Oh, I love Italian food.
Oh, excellent.
Yes,
Italian.
Yes. Now, my husband wouldn't be a big fan of Italian food, but of course, he likes to please his wife, so I normally win.
Excellent. Yeah. So, Italian. And what about, if you're sitting in the car, what sort of music would you like to listen to?
I have a range of taste in terms of music. I love classical music. I trained as a piano and in voice, so that was always my first passion.
Oh, so you're musical?
Yeah. Well, I have to say, nowadays I don't really get much chance to, you know, to tinkle the ivories or sing as much. I used to teach as well privately for a number of years, but with family and commitments, it's a little bit more difficult. But for many years, it was a great passion. And so now it's more reserved to listening to music. So classical music would be a big hit with me, but also I love American country music. So a number of years I had the opportunity to visit Nashville.
Oh, very good.
And it was just fantastic. So as you could see, it's quite diverse from classical to American country.
The third question I normally ask people is, given the choice, where would you rather live, city or country?
Country.
Ah, very good. Mm-hmm. You get out of the hustle and bustle.
Yeah, and that's coming from a city girl now. I have to say, I don't know if it's something related to getting older, but I was always a city girl, but I have to say now I love the peace and solitude of the countryside.
I must admit, I mean, I actually love the city, but I think because I was sort of born and brought up in the country.
That's it.
Yes, I think
that's it.
Well, Jackie, it's been fascinating talking to you, and thank you very much for coming in today.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Now we're going to hear from a very interesting man called Alex Campbell, who's going to tell us about something called echolocation, which is a technique that some people who have sight loss use to get around, basically. So I started by asking him, what is echolocation? Now Alex has come in to RNAB here in Belfast, and he's come to talk about something I think some of our listeners should be able to identify with, echolocation. Isn't that right, Alex?
Well, echolocation is basically seeing with your ears. I think that's how people describe it. It's basically making sense of the sounds around you and the echoes we produce. We can either produce them actively by making a noise, or what I try to show people to do is making a click from your tongue.
You mean just an actual, like a...
Yeah.
Like a click with your tongue, yeah.
That's probably just it. And then listening to the response off the walls. Or... passive echolocation, basically making sense of traffic noise or the sounds round about you. We've all walked along the street in a noisy road and maybe walked under a bus shelter and heard the traffic noise being masked a little. So that's maybe giving someone who has limited sight or no sight maybe an indication that, oh, we've just passed that bus shelter. So use it as a navigational tool. I was a rehab worker. I am always teaching people routes and teaching them routes through landmarks.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe at the end of one street, you have to turn left and maybe there's a lamppost there or there's a post box. So if you can pick up, as you're walking along the street, you may not physically come in contact with a bus shelter, but now using listening to the sound it makes or using echolocation, that's another landmark you can pick up. It just reassures you you're on the right route or how far along the route you are.
Tell me a little bit about how you got interested in this.
As I said, I was a volunteer for a charity, Visibility, and they're a sight loss charity in the west of Scotland, and they asked me to come along and take part in a training program for echolocation. They invited a chap over from California called Daniel Kish, and he was telling everybody about echolocation. But a lot of, basically, it's a thing visual impaired people or blind people had been using for centuries, probably. But he was starting to give it a language. He was starting to tell people, now, this word, echolocation, flash sonar, this is what we can use to help navigate. And I picked it up. I thought it was a great way to enhance your mobility.
I mean, another couple of phrases I've heard throughout my life, because material listeners know I'm blind also, is like sound shadows, or you mentioned a phrase earlier to me, hearing walls.
Yes.
I mean, those are phrases perhaps some people may identify more with, but that's what we're talking about today.
It's the exact same thing. Yeah. It's just noise and interpreting noise that surrounds us. And it's just, I think we should have a language for it so we can talk about it, so we can discuss it, and then maybe we can start using it as one of the tools in our toolbox. Now, we've got the long cane, which is essential. You've got guide dogs for mobility, but maybe echolocation can help you maybe enhance the wider environment round about you.
Who's your biggest audience, would you say?
It's mixed, because sighted people find it fascinating, and they think there's a bit of mystery behind it, but it's not. It definitely isn't rocket science. Is it
magic?
Well, that's just and then sometimes the media, they love all this kind of hocus pocus stuff. And I meet blind people maybe in their 60s or 70s who have been blind all their life, and say, oh God, I've been using that, and I've been doing that for years, and I agree. People have been using it.
Would you say it's fair to say that perhaps every single human has it, as long as you've got good hearing? It's just that when you're sighted, you just don't use it.
Yep, because as I said earlier, your brain is actually telling you to use your sight, because your sight's a predominant sense. Now, our ears are really sophisticated bits of machinery, and it sends sound signals into your brain processes it, and we only use a fraction of what it's capable of.
I do believe that too. Maybe you could just show us, I know it's difficult because obviously I'm recording this with a microphone, but perhaps you could show me, typically how would you try and introduce somebody who had no clue what you're talking about to what you're talking about?
Basically, how I demonstrate it is, first of all, I try to get them to make some sort of noise. If they can do the click, that's fantastic, which is basically put your tongue into the roof of your mouth and just push it up hard, and then break the suction by moving your tongue forward, and then it gives you a click. Yeah.
Yeah. And that the idea of that being a sort of, that's a hard sound, tapping even like a clicking your fingers.
And that's the same, but you can click your fingers or clap your hands, but now doing a click in your mouth can be far more subtle. And if you're in a public space, just a couple of clicks can maybe, you could get away with that without actually looking a bit too, you don't stick out too much. And as you get more and more used to doing the click, you can build up a clearer, sharper click. And now sometimes when I walk into a room, I might only have to click once or twice, and I've got the size of the room, and that's, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And it happens in a fraction of a second, and the brain's that sophisticated that it can pick up that space. What you could try at home is go into the small room in the house, go into the kitchen or the bathroom and click or clap your hands, and then go into a larger room and listen to the difference. Maybe if you go into a room that's got tiles on it or a hardwood flooring, it'll sound different from a room with a carpeted flooring. And that's what all we're trying to teach people to listen for, the difference. You can start building a picture of your environment beyond the cane, beyond your touch, your white cane. It takes a bit of getting used to have the confidence to trust what you've just heard.
Yeah, and to use it in your everyday life, like, finding a doorway. Or one thing I would do a lot is walk down a street, you go along, and then you come to the end of that street, and you now knowing when the wall ends, when the row of shops end, that's something that I would use immediately. Like, that's a simple benefit, so I'd know to turn right or left, but I'd be able to detect when the end of the buildings came.
Another useful one is, say I'm teaching someone in a school, they're walking along a school corridor, and it might be 100 yards long, 100 metres long, the corridor, and then if they click along the corridor it's got one sound, but see when they come and alongside a classroom door that the door's open, mm-hmm. the echo will go inside the room and come back, and it sounds that slightly a bit different. So you'll know, oh, there's the door for yeah. the for the office.
Yeah, but it's as you say, it's a tool, another tool in your yeah. toolbox of getting around. Before I go, Alex, maybe just tell us, where can we get more information about echolocation?
If you Google it, if you're on the internet, you can go on the website. The person who taught me, Daniel Kish, he's got his own website. It's called World Access for the Blind. And I think that's probably the best bet. Or mm-hmm. YouTube, if you go onto YouTube, there's some videos there, sound videos.
That actually demonstrate the... Now, Daniel Kish, you were saying he does do some things on YouTube which are extreme, like yeah. he's taking it to the absolute.
Well, he's been immersed in echolocation since he was a small boy. And he actually, he rides a bike, he does, he goes out off trekking, he travels independently throughout the world, mm-hmm. And he has this kind of no limits philosophy, nobody puts limits on him. If there's going to be limitations, he'll decide where the limits are.
So decide your own limits as such.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's a really good philosophy. Now, we all need to be looked after and we all need to assess risk, but... it's better if you decide your own limits than a third party, than somebody else decides for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alex, this has been a fascinating conversation, and I'd like to ask those listening at home, perhaps if you're interested, get in contact, because I think this is something that maybe perhaps doesn't get enough airtime on, well, whether it be with RNIB or Guide Dogs, any other organisation, or perhaps even just on radio or television. I'd just be fascinated to see who out there can identify with what Alex was talking about today, because I think it's a very interesting topic.
And I'm sure there'll be people out there using echolocation, but maybe by a different name, or maybe they don't have a name for it at all.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Now, Arlene Werner is the Guide Dogs Northern Ireland ambassador for their My Guide service. So she dropped in to tell us what it's all about.
I've got Arlene Werner and I've got Ivy Anderson in to talk to me today about the My Guide service. Now, Arlene, you're the My Guide ambassador for Guide Dogs Northern Ireland. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Tell me a little bit about the My Guide service. I know we had you on the Sound Vision Ulster, well, mostly as you said, I think it was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I think so, the My Guide service in Northern Ireland has been going from strength to strength really over the last few years, and it's a service there to support blind and partially sighted people to get out and about. Maybe they would have lost a bit of confidence, lacking the independence to get out and do things that they would like to do, maybe once did but their eyesight has deteriorated, or just lacking a bit of confidence to do that themselves. So we train up volunteers who are all Access NI checked to be able to support people to get out and about and do activities that they want to do. So it can range from anything really, for people who want to go out for a coffee and a little leisure walk. We have more ambitious people who want to go out hill walking, join groups, organisations, and people who want to take up running. So it's really as varied as that, just really depends on what the individual would like to do.
I suppose maybe what about shopping and things like that?
Shopping, if it, what we talk about is an activity plan. So Guide Dogs is all about mobility, mm-hmm. And supporting people to get out and become more independent. So shopping is if it's something that they want to be able to do independently at some stage, yes, well, that can be part of their activity plan or programme to support with that.
So basically you just put the call out for people to volunteer.
Yes.
To be a guide for the My Guide
yes,
service.
We have probably about 30 volunteers across Northern Ireland at the minute. And probably at the moment we have 22 people who are receiving a service from the volunteers that are out there.
And this would be available to, I mean, anyone with sight loss. Like you don't have to be a guide dog user or
no.
even a cane user or anything?
No, it's anybody living with sight loss over the age of 18. So youngest, Ivy here is probably one of our youngest service users, but we've had people into their 80s who have also availed. So as long as you're over 18, the service is available there.
Excellent. And Ivy, we'll just bring you in.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Tell me a little bit about, well, suppose, why did you first get in contact with Arlene to make use of the My Guide service?
Because the reason why I got in contact with Arlene for was because at that round about that particular time I was going through different issues and one thing and another, and I was really vulnerable at the time and just needed that wee bit of help. Because we were also doing work in around the town and stuff, and just really was finding it hard to get in around the town and stuff.
How did you make contact, and how did the process go?
I actually phoned Guide Dogs because I actually heard about it.
Okay, so you just basically lifted the phone and just said, I would like to talk to someone about this.
Yeah.
Typically, what would you do with the My Guide service?
Well, with My Guide service, with Lydia, I was going to the gym and stuff, and Lydia was helping me, you know, with different things with Lisburn and Focus and stuff.
Lydia is the name of the volunteer in your area.
That's right.
Sorry, yeah. And so what would you say to someone who's maybe, I don't know, hemming and hawing or sitting on the fence, not sure? How would you...
Go for it. Because it really has changed my life. I'm a lot more independent and I'm a lot more jollier and better in myself, and it is a real good experience. The way it works is when your volunteer comes out, they always arrange with you when they bring you back, when they're going to come out, you know, the next time.
So you just pre-arrange, go like next Tuesday at 3 o'clock,
yes,
or whatever. Arlene, just returning back to you then. Uh-huh. So you mentioned earlier, this is like an activity programme. So a person with sight loss is matched with a volunteer, is that right?
That's right. So when someone contacts me who's interested in availing of the service, we go through the relevant forms and then I think about who I'm going to match this person with based on their interests, their hobbies, you know, availability, all that type of thing. And with that, then I specifically match the service user with a volunteer based on that. And those two people work together on an activity plan. So what does a person want to achieve at the end of the programme, you know, how can the two people work together to do that? So Ivy and Lydia, you work together on a programme to do that, and you were going to the gym to be able to improve your mobility, really, wasn't that?
Yes, that's right.
Thing?
And so how did you find the gym, Ivy?
Well, the first time I went, it was a bit daunting, like, now, but I've actually got the confidence now to actually go by myself.
Fantastic.
Where before, I have never, ever went to the gym by myself. It's always been with somebody else.
I must admit, I mean, I've been known to frequent a gym from time to time. Not enough, I might add, but it can be quite a daunting place if you can't see. It really can. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of noise, isn't there?
Yeah. Now, I've got to admit, the gym that I do go to in Lisburn, the staff and all are very, very helpful. And even the members of the public, if there's not a staff member to help you about, someone would always come over if they see you with a cane and say, look, do you need any help?
But it was through the My Guide service that give you the confidence to basically get stuck in and do it. And so, Arlene, how would somebody who's interested in this, how would they get in touch and, you know, to get the process started?
You can contact me or anyone in the Guide Dog office. They'll be able to take you through the initial inquiry, and then someone will call out to see you in your own home, have a chat to you about the service, take you through the process. So you can contact us at the Guide Dog office. It's 0845 3727 402. We'll be able to get someone out to see you.
Well, Arlene and Ivy, it's been great talking to you, and thank you very much indeed.
Now we all know about the benefits of receiving training in all things digital and technical, and recently Joe caught up with Leo Murphy, who recently received training in using his iPhone from the digital and technical team at RNIBNI, led by Joanne Williams.
Joining me today, I've got Leo Murphy and I've got Joanne Williams, Project Coordinator, with me. And we're here to talk about IT training. What is it? Why do you do it? And where do you get it from? So we'll start with you, Joanne. That's a bit of a sort of a vague intro. We offer technology training. Joanne, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yep, sure. So we've been offering training on digital technology. So a lot of the devices which are available on the high street, tablets, smartphones, e-book readers, that type of thing. We offer progressive one-to-one tailored training to people with sight loss who just want to be more familiar with their devices, or who would just like to learn more about a particular device such as an iPhone or an iPad before they purchase one.
And so you're talking about, like, I've got an iPhone or any other phone for that matter, How does it work? Could someone show me?
Exactly. And we would sit down with that person. Like I say, it's totally one-to-one and it's tailored to their needs. So if they would like to focus on being able to send text messages, being able to send emails, social networking, anything at all, we'll work with them to deliver that and to just make them feel more confident in operating their device.
And would that be, and where would the training be? Would that be in here in RNIB?
Yeah,
or?
It's all across Northern Ireland. It has been in RNIB offices all across Northern Ireland, and also we use local libraries. So if there is not an RNIB office close by, we'll go to the nearest library.
Fantastic. Well, Leo, who's sitting beside you, Leo, you've had this technology training.
I have indeed, Joe, yeah.
So tell me your story. Why did you want technology training and what was your reasons for actually coming to RNIB?
Well, at first I worked with Pat Kerr and Pat took me through training for about 6 months and it was brilliant, just on the computer. And then when I heard about this course that Joanne was running, I jumped on the bandwagon and said, this is for me. So I hadn't even got an iPhone at the time. I went in and I met this lady, Anne, who was doing the training at that stage.
She was one of our volunteers.
Yeah, she was a volunteer trainer, yeah. And a lovely person. And Anne, I asked her, would it be possible, could I do a wee bit on music? Because I'm very fond of music. So she learned me how to set up various things for music. She learned me how to use a phone, to answer the phone. Even before I got one, how I would answer, how I would cancel calls, how I would put in. She showed me apps. There's an app for TransLink, which is really brilliant for anybody blind. Anybody out there that hasn't got an iPhone, go to Apple. I'm getting a fortune for this.
I should point out at this stage, other phone companies are available. But Leo, you're obviously a big fan of Apple, are you?
Yeah. Now, also, on a serious note, we have Siri on the phone. If you're in a place and you're not sure of the area, you can say to Siri, you can ask Siri, well, what is my location? And he'll tell you where you're exactly located.
Hey, can we try that now, Leo?
Yeah.
Go get your phone out there and see if it works. Just while Leo's getting his phone ready there, Joanne, so basically Leo said there about Anne, one of the volunteer trainers.
Yeah.
Is that how it runs? There's obviously yourself, but there's a few volunteers that assist you.
There is. There's myself and another RNIB staff member who has been delivering the training so far. And we also have a team of absolutely brilliant volunteers who would also deliver it across Northern Ireland, which is fantastic because they're bringing a lot of experience, a lot of technology backgrounds to it as well.
Fantastic.
So Leo also mentioned about how he didn't have a phone when he began the training. I think that's quite important. You actually don't need to have a device already to be in the course. You know, it could be that you just want to become more confident before
you dip your toe in the water, so to speak.
Exactly. And we have a great kit that we can provide that equipment for that purpose.
That's great. Leo, try that phone there, do we hear?
Right, folks, we're going to try Siri now. Siri, what is my location?
You're near 13 to 15 Clarence Street, Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Ah, well, it's nearly right. I mean, it's close.
Well, tell me if Silly got it wrong. Anybody out there wants to download iTunes, it's a great tool for that as well.
Oh, that's how you buy your music?
I buy quite a lot of music through iTunes. I also have a friend as well. He's blind and him and I can learn from each other. He was also trained by Joanne. Such a great trainer.
There you are.
I have to say that because John's here. No. Also, Siri is fantastic for sending text messages, also emails. Anybody in your contacts. Now, being the contacts means in your phone contacts. And if you want to contact a member of the family or something, you just ask Siri, could you ring such and a person?
Wow, so it's just like it's built on the phone and you can ask it to do things for you on the phone.
Exactly.
Well, on a wider level, Leo, thank you very much. That, I must say, if anyone was in doubt before listening to this, hopefully Leo there has convinced you because I think Leo's, at the moment, he's quite passionate about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, very much. I have been from a god at 6 months ago and I've learned such a lot from it, you know.
Yeah.
Between that and having Mike the guide dog here and Shaw.
Oh, Mike the guide dog's with us here too.
Absolutely. And Mike's fell asleep.
Oh, good man.
absolutely brilliant because the dog doesn't be able to tell you where you are. You know what I mean? You have to get, you have to get this guy out sometimes. Mr. Siri and asked him, well, whereabouts am I?
So between Mike and then Siri, you're all set to go, Grant. Well, just to finish up, Joanne, if anybody out there is interested in maybe asking more about the technology training, how do they get in touch with us?
Okay, so if you just contact myself at RNIB, it is 028 90 329 373.
And we don't want to say too much at the moment, but there is another exciting project coming up very soon called Online Today, isn't that right,
Joanne?
There
is, yeah, in the coming months.
We're obviously still working on that, folks, but David Galloway mentioned that on our Christmas edition. So obviously we'll be releasing more news about that as and when we get it. But Leo and Joanne, thank you very much indeed for talking to me today. At the top of the show, we mentioned that we had a new member of the Sound Vision team starting today. I'd like to introduce you to Jackie Brown. Jackie, you're very welcome.
Hi, thank you very much.
You're very welcome aboard, as they say.
Thank you.
Jackie, you're going to be doing, I suppose you could call it a little bit of everything, but to start with, more technology-based
pieces. That's my main interest is, one of my main interests is technology. And as a blind person myself, I use a lot of assistive tech. So I just thought it would be really good to share some of my sort of bits and pieces and my own use of it, really.
So this is like anything from apps to, gadgets and anything, really?
Yeah, very much gadgets. I'm a gadget girl.
Excellent. So, Jackie, I suppose tell the listeners a little bit. Like, where did you come from, Jackie?
Right. I was born in London. Brought up there. I went to school there, to a blind school in southwest London. And from there, I've kind of moved further north to Scotland, where I lived for many years and have a family over there. And I then went back to England to work for one of the large access technology companies, Sight and Sound Technology. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 2 years. And while I was there, I met a certain gentleman who invited me to live with him in Maharar. And we've since got married. And I'm very happy living in Maharar.
That's in South Derry, Londonderry, isn't it?
Yep.
So England, Scotland, England, Northern Ireland.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. So to start with, I mean, Jackie's recorded something for us, which we'll hear in a few moments. But could you maybe explain a little bit about this, Jackie?
Right. My first piece is about the KNFB Reader. It's an app which resides on the iPhone, and it enables somebody with limited or no sight to read text because it translates the images into OCR, optical character recognition. I've explained all this in the piece, so you'll get the gist. But it's a really useful app because you can scan your mail, correspondence, some food packaging, books, all kinds of stuff, really. And the fact is that it's in your pocket on your phone, so it's not an extra piece of equipment that you really need, because it uses the phone's camera to take pictures and then it puts them into text. So it's a really useful app, and it's a lot cheaper than it used to be. These things cost thousands of pounds before, but this app now is dropping all the time in price, and it's a really good way of being able to use your phone on the go for something useful.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to hear a little bit of that now. So, Jackie, you're very welcome, as I say, and I do look forward to listening to your future features and bits and pieces.
Thank you very much.
Great.
For anyone who has never used the KNFB Reader app on the iPhone, it's a small program that enables a blind or visually impaired person to identify different types of objects or correspondence. I'm standing in my kitchen and I have the KNFB reader on my iPhone, and I'm going to demonstrate how this works by taking some pictures of different items. It uses the phone's camera to do this, so you just launch the app and then take a picture, and hopefully it will read it back to you. It's particularly useful if you're not really au fait with PCs or don't like using them very much. or you want to use something while you're unpacking your shopping to identify different products, or you're out and about somewhere and you want to read something that you're given, say a menu from a restaurant. And speaking of menus, I've got one in front of me here. So what I'm going to do, first of all, is launch the KNFB reader and then take a picture, hopefully, of this menu.
KNFB reader, file explorer, button. Settings, camera flashes on, button, tilt guidance, switch button, take picture, button.
So I've moved along to the take picture button and hopefully it will do this now for me.
Take picture. Pause, button.
5.95.5.95. FFI5. T. Ishinal fish and chips, pizzas, kebabs, burgers, Indians opening hours. Mon Thursday 4 p.m. to 1 a.m. Friday. Sun 4 p.m. Late. Magira.
Okay, so that's given me some idea that it's an Indian menu. And I'll try and get it to read some of the bits and pieces by taking another picture.
View image associated with document. Back button. Take picture, button. Capture image of the document and read the text.
Okay, so we're ready to take another picture.
Take picture. Pause, button.
7.45. Pause. Medium dish cooked in onions. Touch of garlic. R125. Sag Malada 6.95. Medium dish cooked with spinach, onions, pepper and a strong touch of garlic. IL26. Rowan Josh 6.95. A tomato and pepper-based sauce NLTH, a hint of black cardamom and cumin 127.
7.5.
Madras 1 spicy sauce with green chilies 1.
Okay, I'll stop that. That sounds very nice, I have to say. So that gives you an idea of a menu. This is a very glossy menu, I have to say. So sometimes KNFB Reader does sort of get a little bit confused with glossy stuff, but it's not bad actually, and it does give you an idea of what somebody's put through your letterbox or what you can expect on a menu, a takeaway menu. If you hold the camera of the phone roughly flat and about 8 inches above the document that you want to scan, then you're normally going to get something out of it if it's going to read it back to you at all. There is a field of view report feature on this program, and what that does is enable you to line up the document and the phone, just align it with it basically. And it will also vibrate if you turn it on for a tilting feature, which lets you hold the phone, and if it vibrates it tells you whether you're holding the phone completely flat or whether you need to move it slightly up or down. So it's quite useful. But once you get used to using the phone and holding it over a document or something that you want to scan, generally speaking, it's just as easy to just take a picture and hope for the best rather than keep trying to find out whether you've got your page aligned properly and whether you've got the phone tilted or not, because after a while you do get used to it. And I don't have any sight, so it's not as if I can actually cheat. So what else have I got? I have a box of cereal, so we'll see whether this one works. I'll go back.
Back button. Take picture, button. Capture image of the document and read the text.
Okay, I'm laying this box of bran flakes on the work surface so that hopefully it's up the right way. Although it doesn't matter because KNFB Reader will still read your item if it's upside down. But if it's not got just a picture on it and there is some writing to be had, hopefully it will tell me what it is. So let's see. Line up the camera and double tap.
Take picture.
Pause button. Asked with essential pause. Nutrients. Oleic acid plus iron from cereal. Calcium and protein. 1 hour synergy from the food we eat for cereals. 2 5 important during pregnancy too.
Okay, that's given me a gist of what that box of cereal is. I know it's bran flakes, so that's quite useful. As you can see, the KNFB reader is a very useful tool. Some things read better than others. Correspondence and letters are very good. Menus are quite good as well. Some tins are very difficult to scan because you have to lie the tin on its side, and because it's cylindrical, it is very difficult to scan it and keep it still at the same time without rolling away. So it is hit or miss at times with food products, but it does give you an idea of what you've got, particularly if you're unpacking food or you're in a situation where you have two items that are completely different but feel very much the same. There are lots of features about KNFB Reader as well. You can do batch scanning, which means that you can do more than one document. You can change the language. You can save the document as a text file or as a file that you want to send somewhere else, say to Dropbox or to VoiceDream Reader, which are other apps that you can use. So there is a lot of flexibility with it, and it's available to download from the App Store. Just type in KNFB Reader and you should be able to find that. At the moment, it costs £70 or £69.99. It was down in price over Christmas, so look out for offers where it could go down again. I think it was round about £20 off it at Christmas. There are other apps that are cheaper, and indeed there are some that are free, but they're really not as good because KNFB Reader has been developed for blind and partially sighted people, whereas some of the other apps are just mainstream and therefore don't have the versatility of looking through them. You can do things on KNFB Reader like alter the text size and the font, and you can read by sentence, by line, by word, where some of the other apps don't let you do things like that. So that's where I suppose it's worth the money. So I hope that's given you a flavour of what KNFB Reader is. And if you want to get hold of it, it works on the iPhone 4S, 5, 5S, 5C, iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus.
Well, I've got Amy Stewart with me now for our regular sort of shop roundup. Amy, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
I'm very good indeed. Okay, so Amy, what have you got to tell us today?
I'm going to tell you about a very special offer that we have in the shop today, courtesy of supplier Optilec. We have had an Optilec Clearview as a demonstration model in our shop for a couple of years now. We don't own it, Optilec still do, but they're going to allow us to sell it at a special price.
Okay.
Normally, a Clearview would set you back somewhere in the region of £1,200. Optilec are going to allow us to sell it for half price. So you can get an Optilec Clearview video desktop magnifier for £600. And Optilec, in their great generosity, are also giving us a 1 year manufacturer's warranty with it. So there's really nothing to lose with this. And if you're unfamiliar with a Clearview, it's a desktop video magnifier. So it's perfect for if you want to read, or you miss being able to see your newspaper or read a book or even check your post. It's a sort of product that would sit on your desktop. It's quite big. It's got a wide screen at 18.5 inches. And then you can magnify things up as high as 56 times with a Clearview. So you get a huge range of magnification with it. And then you can do all sorts of high contrast colour modes as well, and change the text and the background colours to increase the contrast and make the characters stand out in a way that will suit you best. So it's a really lovely piece of kit. And at £600, it's the best price that I've ever seen one, especially with a whole year's worth of warranty on it.
So this would be for someone with low vision. This would really make a an amazing addition to your...
It could make a huge difference, just to being able to read, catch up on your post, check the newspaper, do crosswords. There's a lot of space underneath between the screen and the table where you would put your document. So there's room that you could fill in a crossword or do the Sudoku. You've got lots of space underneath. And all those different contrast modes and that huge range of magnification makes it just a super product.
Well, there you are, folks. You heard it here first. If you want to talk to any of the guys in the shop, just give us a call on 028-9032-9373, as always. Of course, Amy, we've got a couple of public holidays coming up now. We've got St. Patrick's Day and Easter.
So that's right. So just watch out. We'll be closing St. Patrick's Day, 17th of March. Do you know what day of the week that is, Joe?
It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday, the 17th. We'll be closed. And again, for Easter Monday and Easter Tuesday, which is the 6th and 7th.
Exactly, of 6th April.
6th and 7th of April this year. So we'll be closed on those days.
Fantastic. Well, Amy, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Time for the quiz. Last time we asked you a very festive question. In the popular Christmas tune, The 12 Days of Christmas, my true love sent to me 10 lords, but what were they doing? And Joe Burke from the Bangor area was correct in saying 10 lords a-leaping and not 10 lords filing for bankruptcy, as I might have indicated. So well done, Joe, you are correct in your answer. Someone will be in contact regarding your prize very soon. Now, turning our attention to this question, it being almost St. Patrick's Day on the 17th of March, we want to know, according to the St. Patrick story, what animal did St. Patrick drive from Ireland? That's what animal did St. Patrick drive from Ireland? Was it A, dinosaurs, B, snakes, or C, the tortoise? That's A, dinosaurs, B, snakes, or C, tortoises. So get your answers in all the usual ways. You can phone in on 028-9032-9373 via email on soundvisiononline@rnib.org.uk or leave us a private message on Facebook. Just search for RNIB Northern Ireland. Good luck and get those answers in.
Soundvision Ulster News and Event Guide. RNIB Member Forum Events in Northern Ireland. The next RNIB Members Forum event is on Saturday, 7th of March in Derry City Hotel, Derry, Londonderry at 10 a.m. There will be two more events in Northern Ireland this year, one in June and one in October. Forums are a great opportunity to meet and socialise with other blind and partially sighted people, take part in activities together and find out about RNIB's work. They include a choice of informal workshop sessions to gain practical knowledge and share your views with other members. You will also hear about the latest regional news and enjoy social time with other members over lunch. Throughout the day, appointments are available with an RNIB advice worker who can give you information and advice on a range of daily living issues, benefits and services available to RNIB members. To get more information on RNIB membership or to book your place, just contact our membership team on 0303 1234 555 or email membership@rnib.org.uk. Fundraising news. Eyepatch Cricket Match. Jeff Britton, Premier League cricketer, is hosting Eyepatch Cricket Match in aid of RNIB NI's youth service. The event is on Sunday the 24th of May 2015 from 1 p.m. at CIYMS Cricket and Rugby Club, 91 Circular Road, Belfast, BT4 to GD. Eyepatch Cricket Match is a 2020 game with a difference. All professional and semi-professional cricketers will wear an eye patch on one eye throughout the duration of the game. Jeff has been blind in one eye since 2005 and continues to play Premier League cricket. It promises to be a great day with the Northern Knights and Irish international players, past and present, competing. For more information, contact Jeff Britton on 075-2541-9826 or email jeffbritton@outlook.com. Follow this event at facebook.com/eyepatchcricketmatch. Join Team RNIB at the 26th Spar OMA Half Marathon Race and 5 km fun run/walk on Saturday the 28th of March. RNIB NI's Children and Family Services in the OMA area is the recognised beneficiary of the event. Everyone finishing will receive a medal and refreshments, and half marathon runners receive a free t-shirt and a post-race massage. It promises to be a great day for all, with street entertainment throughout the day. Take part by registering at athleticsni.org. We would like to put a call out for volunteers to join the following fundraising groups. They are Ballymoney, Foyle, OMA, Lisburn and Banbridge. Contact RNIB Northern Ireland's Area Fundraising Manager on 028 9032 9373 or email hazel.sterling@rnib.org.uk. A Sense of the Past exhibition at Bernavon Arts and Cultural Centre. A Sense of the Past exhibition and book will soon continue its travels to Bernavon Arts and Cultural Centre in Cookstown from the 2nd of April. Part of the Museums in Focus project and funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund, this exhibition and book explore the social history of blindness in Northern Ireland through display panels with a special talking feature and tactile artefacts dating from the 1800s, which provide a fascinating insight into the social attitudes towards blind people in the past, some of which are quite shocking to us today. Admission is free. Copies of the Sense of the Past book will be available from each venue or by contacting RNIB NI on 028 9032 9373. The publication is available in accessible formats to people with sight loss, including Braille, clear print and audio. Fermanagh VIP Group continue to meet every fortnight in Enniskillen. The range of activities they participate in has developed over recent years to include regular meetings with local councillors, transport and other service providers in order to raise awareness of issues relating to sight loss. They also enjoy leisure activities at Lakeland Forum, boat trips on Loch Earn and bowling in Irvingstown. Their goal being to improve and increase access to local facilities and services for blind and partially sighted people. Fermanagh VIPs have just completed a verbal arts programme with Community Arts Partnership and are currently working with a coach as part of Sport NI's Active Communities programme. If you live in the Fermanagh area and would like more information about Fermanagh VIPs, contact Agnes at RNIB OMA office 028 8225 0220. OMA-based group iSpeak meet regularly and is currently involved in a number of activities. As RNIB is to benefit from proceeds of OMA Half Marathon taking place this year on Saturday the 28th of March, many iSpeak members were keen to take part in the 5K event on the day. A training programme has been in place at OMA Leisure Complex as part of the Couch Potato to Runner Bean programme. iSpeak have also been preparing to participate in OMA Community Showcase for the third year in succession at the Struil Arts Centre in OMA. Having written their own script as usual, they are currently rehearsing for their performance in April. Tickets on sale now. The group have completed filming for a DVD in conjunction with Community Arts Partnership as part of the This Is Me programme. The DVD takes a humorous look at the serious side of sight loss and offers some sound advice. iSpeak have been successful in obtaining funding from the Big Lottery for a 32-week activity programme. This will ensure a busy programme of events for the coming year. Although quite a new group, iSpeak have already been recognised locally for its achievements to date and was highly commended in the Community Group of the Year category as part of the Community Hero Awards in 2014. For more information about iSpeak, find us on Facebook / iSpeak or contact Kate at RNIB OMA office 028 822 50220. Creating Confident Shoppers. Lisburn and Focus is planning a series of confidence building workshops for 2015 to try and give local blind and partially sighted people the confidence to shop, use services and receive additional support they need when out and about. The first sessions are taking place on Friday the 20th and Monday the 23rd of March, so contact Claire Patience on 028 9260 0388 or email claire.patience@rnib.org.uk. Atlanta Swimming Club. The Atlanta Swimming Club are looking for new members.
We meet every Wednesday for an hour swimming and jacuzzi, followed by lunch and a good chat. We have exclusive use of the facilities for an hour. Don't worry if you can't swim, as most of our members couldn't when they joined, but can now. There are 2 lifeguards plus 3 sighted guides for each session. At present, we cannot offer transport, but door-to-door transport is an option. The cost for the swim is £3 a week. Sandwiches are £2.20. We are looking for new members from anywhere in Belfast or further afield, as long as they are visually impaired and over 18. To find out more about the Atlanta Swimming Club, call 028 9071 1265. Quiz night in aid of Lisburn Social Group. Outlook is holding a fundraising stew and quiz night on Saturday the 21st of March at 7:30 p.m. in St Patrick's Pastoral Centre, Chapel Hill in Lisburn. We'd love you to come along and bring some friends or family with you. Teams for the quiz can be a maximum of 6 people and tickets are £10 a head. This includes your food and drinks. All profits will go towards your favourite social and cultural club. There will also be a raffle on the night. For catering purposes, if you could contact David Mann at lisburnoutlook@gmail.com to reserve your place and let him know how many people you think you will have in your team, that would be great. Tandem pilot wanted. Are you or someone you know interested in becoming a tandem pilot in the Hollywood area? A tandem pilot is the title used for a sighted person who sits on the front seat of the tandem. If you live in the Hollywood area and you feel you could commit to going out for a tandem cycle around the area with a local tandem owner, please do get in touch with Sound Vision Ulster and we can pass your details on. Call us on 028 9032 9373. Audio Described Performances. Grand Opera House, Saturday the 9th of May, 7:30 p.m. The Producers. To book tickets, call the box office on 028 9024 1919. For more information on Audio Described Performances, contact the MAC Belfast on 028 9023 5053 and the Lyric Theatre on 028 9038 1081.
And that's about it for this edition of Sound Vision Ulster, which is actually the last edition under its current name. If you missed the big announcement at the very start of this edition, we do encourage you to have another listen. So anyway, thanks to Nicola there for the news and events guide. And of course, our thanks to everyone, as always, for all their help with Sound Vision Ulster. And please do get in touch, as we love to hear what you think. And of course, do enter the competition, of course.
You can get in contact with us in all the usual ways by phone on 028 9032 9373 or email us at soundvisiononline@rnib.org.uk. You can contact us on Facebook, just search for RNIB Northern Ireland, or you can get us on Twitter as well at RNIBNI.
And as Mike said at the start of the show, please, please let us know if you wish to receive the new Sound Vision Online compilation CD or you're happy to listen to future content online.
So from all of us here on Sound Vision Ulster / Sound Vision Online, supported by BT, from me, Michael Selby.
And from me, Sharon Jennings.
And me, Joe Kenny.
We'll speak to you very soon. But for now, take care and bye-bye.